Please be seated. There are two men about 10 years apart who were avid tennis players and had a regular standing weekly tennis game for years. They would go out there and they got along very well. When they went out on the court, they both gave 100%. They left nothing on the court. They went at it. They enjoyed it. And it was amazing because the older man kept playing at such a high game. He played other folks as well. However, when the older man got into the early 80s, it was showing a bit. And so the younger man, and I say that's someone who, let's say, about 71, held back on his game just a bit. Because it was not just the competition. It was the camaraderie that they enjoyed. The man in his early 80s, let's say 81, still gave 100% of what he had on the court. The other man, who's 71, let's say gave 90% or 85% of his effort to keep it going, sometimes winning, sometimes losing. This younger man was being meek. Or imagine with me a woman with a sharp mind. Facts just come to her very quickly. She can process them very well. She also has strong intuition. So the information comes in. She senses it. She sorts it. The intuition processes it, gets a read on it, and like a computer, she can assess a situation. Now, she's human, she's not perfect, but that accuracy rate is very high. It's scary how high it is. That's all very good, a great gift. Also, with that sharp mind, quick mind, comes a quick tongue. Now, she can give the kind of lines that screenwriters would kill for as she assesses a situation. Not necessarily bad, just she can summarize it with a cute phrase, sometimes a cutting phrase. But she realizes that sometimes she says something, assesses a situation, and the line doesn't, it cuts and it hurts. Assessing a person, assessing some people involved. And she realizes, I really have to think before I speak. Maybe I don't always have to give the witty lines. She loves giving those witty lines, quite frankly, and I don't blame her. She's quite talented. But she has to assess now the people around her. Is this the best way to state it? She is being meek. In some respects, the meek shall inherit the earth is the most controversial of the Beatitudes. Now again, I may have traveled in some very hard circles growing up. But the different reasons that people give for rejecting the Christian message or not taking it seriously, this was one that I would hear among people in my group. If Christianity is about the meek, then I want nothing to do with it. I'm a winner. I'm an overachiever. I'm not a loser. Again, I may just travel in some very hard circles, but that was one of the biggest reasons I heard for rejecting the message. And this would be a verse that people would throw out. There's nothing really nice when we use the word meek. Sometimes used well, but usually it's meant in a derogatory way. So today I want to look at what it is not and what it does mean. What does this inherit the earth bit mean for us? So first, what it is not. And despite the way we use meek typically in the English language, the word here does not mean timid or spineless or passive or afraid. The word used in Matthew was often used for a powerful animal that had been trained, that was under control, that still did the strong actions, but somebody was managed. It was managed. Imagine a powerful horse under control. You don't mess with a horse, but it's under control. In a few weeks, month or so, over a month, it'll be the Kentucky Derby. And you will see some powerful horses that are under control, reaching their goal. Funny story, heard an interview with Princess Anne, the sister of King Charles, who was a keen horsewoman and loved riding. And it was said that one thing she enjoyed about riding was, that horse doesn't care if I'm a princess or not. If I don't control that horse, I am going to be on the ground. Maybe for her it's almost a mental health thing. It doesn't matter what I am. I is my skill set that will manage. She had that, but she wanted that horse to win because she rode to win. But she had to control it. It was under control. This is strength under control. Not the absence of power, but the mastery of it. Imagine Michael Jordan in his prime, visiting an elementary school and maybe playing a game of basketball with the 9-year-olds. Is he going to play at that highest Michael Jordan level? No. Well, Dean Smith would have really gotten him in trouble. But anyway, but he's not going to play too far down that the kids don't feel challenged. He wants to give those kids, those boys, a run for their money. Or maybe play even with the girls. That's fine too. But he would gauge his ability to make them feel like we played a good game, but he didn't give 100% of the Michael Jordan piece. The meek are not the people who lack strength. They are the people who have strength, but do not let it control them. As I shared last week about the second grade teacher who said, I want to see children playing with balls, not balls playing with children. This is a case where the person has the power, but they control that power, that ability. Now, I did more reading on this and got some different other insights. I called it the Battle of the Bees because you got William Barclay. Many of you all are familiar with William Barclay. And also Dale Bruner. And that's the guy who's got the two big, thick commentaries that I have been using. And both give very interesting reads on this beatitude. William Barclay, he emphasizes self-control, self-mastery. He even references the great Greek philosopher Aristotle, who talked about the happy medium. Now, you may know the old line, I'm thrifty, you're cheap. Maybe not. Anyway, that line, well, he would say that that you've got the person over here who is a miser. That's not good. But you've again got the person over here who's a spendthrift, who says that's why we've got credit cards. Money is no object. And neither are really good. It's the middle one that you should pursue. You've got the person over here who's timid and scared of shadows. You've got the person over here who's a bully. Neither are good. What's that medium? He emphasizes that. Barclay emphasizes this. So as the person who can handle an insult, respond to the insult, but doesn't crush. The person who can disagree and respect the integrity of the person opposite of him or her. The person who can win the right way, but not crush. The one who has inner authority and confidence. Think of Jesus before Pilate. I mean, Jesus said, one word, and I can have an army of angels down here around me. Considering really the strength of Jesus, literally he could have done this and blown out Pilate's brains. It'd been gross, blood all over the walls and everything like that. The power that Jesus had, but this is not the place to use that kind of power. Jesus did not grasp or beg or threaten or posture or manipulate. He did not need to prove it. But there is more. Bill Bruner pushes further on this, even referencing Psalm 37, where there are references, and that's about, and in fact it's titled, Exhortations of Patience, to Patience and Trust. Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers. They will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security. On and on it speaks of that to somebody who is being challenged and has limited resources. Dale Bruner says that the meek are the oppressed, or those with limited opportunities, limited options. So once again, we're seeing in this beatitude the divine notice of those without or with limitations. That this is written, and it's Jesus, you would say Jesus is speaking more to those who do not control the courts, who do not own the land, who do not write the laws, who do not run or dominate the system. It reminds me of an old line by the Southern comedian Louis Grizzard. It's in reference to a sled being pulled by dogs. And he said, if you're not the lead dog, the scenery never changes. Think about that. And these are the ones that Jesus says will inherit. How odd that must seem to those hearing it, because they're thinking Rome is the one that inherits. Just a short look at their history of the last several hundred years. Thinking, okay, we're from those of the southern province, or those who are living in the southern provinces, tribal areas. It was Babylon who inherited, and then Persia inherited, and then Alexander inherited, and then Ptolemy in Egypt inherited, and then the Seleucids, based around Damascus, they inherited. We had a few years there when we had a little bit of leeway, local leeway, but then Rome came in. And Rome inherited. And Jesus says the meek will inherit. But think about that too, about inheritance. That is something that is received, not grabbed. A person writes up his or her will, how things are divided, and maybe even saying, hey, I want this particular heirloom table to go to this cousin, or this sibling, this nephew, this niece, and it's delivered. The person did not go in and just say, that's what I want. No, the will said it goes. An inheritance is given. It is to them who will inherit the earth, the meek. These are people who work hard, have limited or no control over outcomes. These are people who answer to those over them. People who live with limited leverage. And to take this a bit deeper, recently I said that the opposite of sorrow is not joy, it's indifference. And it was presented to me that the opposite of weakness is not strength. It is not, the opposite of meekness is grasping and control and recognition and revenge and position. So meekness really is a radical idea. It says, trust God more than force. Trust God more than force. See, these people will inherit the earth because the earth does not belong to the aggressive. It belongs ultimately to God. It belongs to those who trust in Him. Trust replaces grasping, and patience replaces panic, and faith replaces force. The meek are strong enough not to grasp. Meekness is strength that has learned to trust God instead of trusting force. Some scholars, like I said, these two tell us, some will tell us that the meek are the self-controlled, the strong who have mastered their impulses. And others like Brunner will tell us that the meek are the powerless, the overlooked, even the little people. The people who do not control history. And both are right. The meek are those who have power but refuse to abuse it. Those who lack power but refuse to surrender their dignity. Meekness is strength that does not grasp, and weakness that does not despair. It is a soul anchored so deeply in God that it no longer needs to dominate in order to survive. The meek will inherit the earth because, as I said, in the end, the earth does not belong to the aggressive. It belongs to God and to those who trust in Him. History may look like it belongs to the loud, but eternity belongs to the faithful. Earlier, I spoke of an older man playing tennis. Think of another older man, one whose hands are scarred from work. And over the course of life, he has known insults and frustration and unfairness. And he could be bitter. He could be harsh. He could try to dominate every room just to prove something. But instead, he shows up. He works. He loves his family. He serves quietly. He does not need to win every argument. He does not need to control every outcome. He does not need to humiliate anyone to feel strong. That man is not weak. He is free. For blessed are the meek, for they no longer have to grasp at the world. And one day, in Jesus' name, they will inherit it. Thanks be to God. Amen.